Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalms 117, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Adley, for reading the word to us this morning. Joel, thank you. And thank you, Mary, that the bulletin is great, and they'll just be building on more and more with it over time. So, very nice. I like it. All right, audience participation. If you'd like to stand, please do so. Let's lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. We stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory.
Horizon with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. Pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Father, the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, known by her true name. And that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
This week, as I was thinking about communion meditation and going over things in my mind, I was dealing with a physical ailment, and that is I have a bad tooth. And so I went to the dentist, and they referred me to an oral surgeon to have it removed, just simply because it's into the sinus cavity. And when they pull it, if the possibility is that they'll tear a hole in the sinus cavity, which can happen, I see some people cringing, they'll have to surgically repair it. And if a dentist pulled it, they don't have the capability of repairing that tear. And then I would have a hole in my sinus cavity directly to my mouth. There's obviously lots of bacteria in the human mouth, which would cause constant infection in the sinus cavity, which if any of you have had sinus infections, you know how painful that is. So I've dealt with a painful toothache until they can get me scheduled. They've got me scheduled, but unfortunately they're so busy right now, it's still another week or so out. So, but I thought about pain. And so that's what I, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about pain because I was physically feeling pain. And when I say physically feeling pain, it started about at my neck and ended at the top of my head. So when you have tooth pain, as you all, anybody that's had tooth pain, I'm sure about 90% of the people in here have had tooth pain, it radiates through your entire face. And you're not even sure exactly where it's coming from, but you know it's a pain that you want to go away soon. And speaking of pain, we just ended a year that I would say we could label that year pain or painful, because it was a pretty painful year for a lot of different reasons. There were a lot of loved ones that we had to say goodbye to. There were a lot of sicknesses, illnesses. There were separation, and I think separation was probably one of the biggest forms of pain that we felt in 2020 as far as being separated from our friends, our family, due to self-quarantining or being sick and not being able to be around your friends and your family. When I think of separation, I think of Susie not being able to see her dad. And I know that separation can be extremely painful. I could name a million different reasons why 2020 could have been painful. And so we're into a new year. There's already been some crazy things happen, as we know. But I feel like this new year could be a year of joy. And I think joy is something that can come after pain. And I think what we're doing right now, and we're remembering what Jesus did for us at Calvary, he suffered tremendous pain, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And through that pain came joy. And the joy is what we are celebrating right now. And that is the fact that he is offering us grace. And that gift of grace allows us eternity in heaven with the Father. So through all that pain that Jesus felt, and the torment that he went through, and hanging on the cross and taking on the sin of the world and having total darkness from God, came a great joy. And that's what we do around the table when we come forward. We remember that pain and that sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to the table this morning and we ask that you would allow us to open our hearts, we would open our minds, we would examine ourselves, because Lord, there are things in our lives that cause you great pain, and those things are sin. We each and every one of us have that sin, but we know that you have the answer for it. You have already paid the price. You just need us to come forward and dump those sins at your feet, Lord, and say, take them from me. Get rid of them. Take them out of my life. You're the prime example, Lord, of what I need to do and how I need to live my life. I need to live the way that Jesus came to earth and lived and was the perfect example. Lord, we are so blessed to have the ability to come to this church house each and every Sunday and praise your name freely without any type of persecution. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to allow us to do that. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your son Jesus, that he went to Calvary, that he was that ultimate sacrifice, and he paid the price for each and every one of us, so we don't have to feel the pain, but we can bask in the joy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All righty, kids, you're welcome to go down to Junior Church with Jessica this morning. While they're doing that, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Malachi, it's the last book in the Old Testament, and that's where we're going to be today. I'll be reading from Malachi chapter 3 today. When you think about the attributes of God, there are certainly some big ones that we think of, probably on a daily basis. If you have a daily walk with the Lord, you probably think Him, walk in Him, and appreciate His big attributes. We talk a lot about them in Sunday sermons, Sunday school classes, Bible studies, your home devotions. We always praise God for His great love. We praise God that He is all-powerful. These are huge attributes of what makes God, God. He is all-knowing, He is perfect, and He is complete in Himself. These are some big attributes of God, and that's what gives us reason to praise His name every day. That's why we gather here as fellow believers and in worship together and fellowship together. That's why we come to the communion table this morning together to offer our praise and our worship and our thankfulness to of God's attributes, of what makes Him God, the one and only true God. However, today, I'd like to take a look at a few attributes of God that maybe we don't talk about as much. are as often, but are just as important in our everyday walk in understanding who he is and how to appreciate what he does on a daily basis. So this morning, before we get into Malachi chapter 3, I'll eventually be starting in verse 6. I want to give you a little bit of background of what Malachi, who he's talking to and what he's talking about. Malachi was making the people aware of the way they were treating God at this point. God's people were disappointing God, if not angering God. They were not appreciating God for who he was. And they were treating God unfairly, if you want to say that. They weren't appreciating God for who he was. So Malachi was making the people aware of the way they were treating God and how God was going to react in that treatment. And the people were treating God bad, and they were going, and God was going to react. And he wasn't going to react in a very positive way. And Malachi is going to warn the people, if there aren't certain changes that are made, they're going to experience the wrath of God, not in the life eternity, but here on earth, especially. The passage that we're going to look at today is talking about repentance. God, through Malachi, is going to tell us how to prevent experiencing God's wrath, especially for eternity, but also here on earth. God disciplines his children here on earth. I mean, when we get off course, he is a loving God enough that he will discipline his children and set you right back on the course you need to be if you will listen and obey. And by doing so, Malachi is going to reveal a few attributes of God that I've grown to appreciate over the years. So the first one, attribute of God that I want us to look at is God is completely unchangeable. Praise God for being a God that does not change. If you look at the first couple verses 6 and 7 in our text, Malachi chapter 3, just verse 6 and 7, I am the Lord, or I the Lord do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. That is a very important verse. That is a very huge statement by God. This verse tells us that God is unchanging, that God is God, and he always will be. That should provide comfort to you and to your family and to me on a regular basis. Praise God for being a God who does not change. That should provide you comfort. Imagine if God did change. God would surely wipe out his people of the land of that day. If God was a God of change, who changed the way he did things or changed who he was, God's people would have been wiped out right here, right then. Disobeying, caught in unrepentant sin for a long time, and God changes all of a sudden, he could have wiped them all out. But thanks be to God, he is a God that does not change. Notice what God says. Return to me, and I will return to you. Return to me, and I will return to you. After all they had done, after all their, if you want to call it backsliding, sinning, whatever you want to call it, after turning their backs on God, not paying attention to who he is, not paying attention to his decrees and his law at the time, God is still willing to forgive and let them return to him. All right, so God doesn't change. What does that have to do with us? So we serve a God who doesn't change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What on earth does that have to do with me? What on earth did that have to do with the Israelites at that time? It means everything. Of all the attributes I'm going to talk about to God about God today, this is probably the most important one, and the one we need to thank him for every day. God's unchanging heart means everything for you and I today. This should be some of the greatest news you have ever heard. That God offers forgiveness and that never changes. That never goes away. All we have to do is ask for it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to change the way we look. We don't have to change the way we dress. We don't have to change job. If we have sin that needs forgiven, and God sees a repentant heart, because he has not changed from generation to generation to generation, all we have to do is ask for it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will always be willing, always be willing to take you back. If we are to take on the attributes of God, who in our life do we need to take back? Who in our life do we need to forgive? Who in our life do we need to ask forgiveness from? We serve an unchanging God whose forgiveness remains the same. He will always be willing to take you back. You can never mess up so bad that you lose God's love forever. I used to always get frustrated. When I was in youth ministry, probably the first 8 years of my ministry, I was in youth ministry. And I used to always get frustrated because I would have parents that would just drop their kids off on Sunday morning and then they'd drive away. And they wouldn't come into church themselves. So finally, one Sunday, I got frustrated enough. I stopped one of the parents and I said, as kindly as I could, in my frustration, I said, you know, you're welcome to come in too with your children. This lady had three or four kids she was dropping off every Sunday. She'd drop them off for youth group on Sunday night. She'd drop them off for youth group on Wednesday night. I said, you know, you're welcome to come in. We would love to have you. And her response to me, and it never hit me before that this was people's thinking. It's too late for me, but I want my kids to have a chance to have God. In her heart of hearts, she believed that her sin was so great that a loving, holy God was not big enough to take her back. And I got to have a conversation with her and talk about how there is no sin so deep that if you're willing to ask God for forgiveness and repent of that sin, turn away from that sin, he is more than willing to take you back. I know many of you sitting in the pews, you understand that. You know that. But you have friends, family, and people around you who don't know that, don't understand that. And that can seem kind of odd to us, or we don't think about it. But maybe, just maybe, that person that you don't understand why they don't go to church, why they don't worship God like you do, maybe they think they're not good enough for your God. And boy, is it important for us to get that message out. That our sin is no greater than theirs. And praise be to God, he is an unchanging God. Imagine that you got a new job. Imagine you started 2021 with a brand new job. Brand new start. And you start your new job and the boss goes over the rules and the procedures and tells you how to do your job exactly how he or she would like to see you work. Now somehow you come into work and you manage to break all the rules. You follow none of the procedures and you do not do your job correctly one day. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to get fired. You're going to get asked to leave. Now if you were to go back to the company a few weeks later and ask them to hire you again, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think they're going to say? No, get out of here. We gave you your chance. You didn't want to follow the rules. You didn't want to follow the procedures. You didn't want to do what we asked you to do. You're not going to be asked back. You're not going to be let back into the building. See, that is the difference with God. He will allow you to return. No matter how much you mess up, no matter how much you think your way is better than his way, his unchanging heart allows him to forgive and forgive and forgive and give you chance after chance after chance. He will allow you to return. He will allow you to join with him again. And that has to be some of the greatest news you and I could ever imagine. Receiving from a holy God who is complete in himself, who doesn't need us, but wants us, created us to enjoy fellowship with him. He and he alone is unchangeable and worthy of our praise because of that attribute alone. But there's another attribute to God. If we go along in verse 8 through 12, we're going to see that God is also an unacceptable God. And I don't mean unacceptable as he's not a good God and we shouldn't accept him. But you'll see what I mean here. God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Notice how this part begins. It begins in a way that I would never want it to begin. It begins with God telling us that we are robbing him. God telling his people, look, you're robbing me. You're taking away what belongs to me. And I love the way Malachi gives the human response to the comment just made by God. It's typical in human fashion. How do we rob you? Surely we do not do that. That's what the people are saying. Never wanting to take blame for anything. Boy, we get on the defensive when God opens our eyes to sin. How have I robbed you? I come to church every Sunday. I give my offering. I give this. I give that. I do for you and I serve this. How do I take from you, God? Well, the Lord's not buying it. He tells the people how they have been cheating him on their tithes and offerings. Now, back at this time, this was written to the people. They were still living under the law. And we understand that. Before Jesus came was the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Now, but here in Malachi's day, it was in the law to give 10%, your first 10% of whatever you had to the Lord. Now, the law has been fulfilled with the perfect sacrifices being offered on the cross. We understand that. But under the law here, however, one of the requirements was that you give 10% of everything as your tithe to God. There was not as much money and currency available back then as there is today, so many people offered cattle, products that they had made or grown, and that was perfectly acceptable to God. However, what was happening was people were cheating in this day. They were not offering the best of the best. They may have been giving 10% of anything they had to God, but they were cheating in that. They were not giving God their best. They were not giving the full 10% that God had asked for. And this is what was making God upset. And what was making God upset was not so much them not giving everything that he asked for. Because like I said, God is complete in himself. He needs nothing. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your things. That all belongs to him anyway. What was upsetting God was the heart behind the cheating. The lack of trust that he was going to take care of them if they would just offer a bit of themselves to him. We want to be in so much control of what we have. It's very hard for us sometimes to let it go and let God have it and have control of that. So God offers them this little challenge. If they were to start giving like they were supposed to give and have a heart change in their giving, he would begin to give showers of blessing. And he would open the floodgates of heaven and showers of blessing would flow. He said, I'm going to let them flow so much you're not even going to be able to handle and store all the blessing I'm about to give you. Their crops would not wither. Pests would not bother them anymore. And there would be enough left over that they could take it and bless others with the leftovers. That is a huge blessing. So not only is God unchangeable and accepts them back and asks them to come back, He's willing to say, if you come back and you do what I've asked you to do, if you give me your faith, if you give me your heart, and you follow my law today, I will not only take you back, I will bless you beyond belief, beyond your imagination. You are going to have so much blessing, there's going to be leftover for you to be a blessing to other people and those around you. So that's nice. Why should I care today? Why should I care today about this conversation with the Israelites that God's having? Let me explain real quick. It's true that we no longer live under the law. I understand that, and so do you. We live under Jesus Christ and His grace and His commands for us in following Him. Jesus fulfilled everything in the law that we could not fulfill on our own. Hence, the 10% is not a hard and fast rule today. So why do you hear 10% a lot of times in the church? Seems like 10%. We need to give 10%. And I grew up in church growing up. You know, I got my very first job, and Mom and Dad said, Joel, you should give 10% of your income to God. That's hard for a 16-year-old to understand. Why 10%? Plain and simple, it's just a great place to start. Jesus taught on giving. He didn't limit us to 10%. In fact, Jesus said, if you want to give me 30, 40, if you want to live on 50% of what I give you and trust me with the other half, go ahead. I know people today that live on 25% of their income and trust God with 75% of it. Now, let me add something here. I'm going to be referring to giving as money. However, it does not stop with money here. And that's not what God's completely talking about. Biblical giving is of yourself also. When Jesus says, I want you to worship me and give to me who you are, He's talking about yourself. He's talking about your time. I want your time. I want your schedule. I want your talents. I've given you talents that only come from me. I've given you gifts that only come from me. I want you to give that back to me in worship and in service of me. All of those things can be given as offerings. When you give, you should not give out of guilt or out of your duty. And that's what these people were doing. They were just giving to God, and some of them weren't even giving the full 10%, but they knew it was just their duty as God's holy people that they needed to give back to Him, and it's been the law for century after century, and that's just the thing to do. And we can fall in that rut here at church too, to give in the offering plate, because it's just the thing to do. But where is your heart in that? Where is your heart in your service? Where is your heart in your giving of your talents and your gifts to God? Where is your heart when you do put your offering in the offering plate before the God you serve? You give out of your love and understanding for God. And let me tell you, you're going to feel a certain sense of pride. And I'm not talking about sinful pride here. But you're going to feel a sense of pride when you give, because you are giving to God. You are going to feel a connection with God as He serves you and you serve Him and you join forces with Him in ministry, in love, and in grace. You're going to feel something there. You're going to feel a different kind of connection with your God. And you know what He does with that? He turns around and He gives to you. In your imperfection, in your sin, and I know each and every one of us have laid offerings before God, either in the offering plate or served. We had men and women who served in this church building all week long this week. That bathroom downstairs did not just happen on its own. There has been some men and women who have worked very, very hard this past week, every single day this week. And thank you, Lord, for them. And in all of that, God says, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to bless you so you can continue to be a blessing to other people in my name. Unfortunately, that is where many people go wrong. They give to God to get something in return. They view it more as a great investment opportunity. Well, he's got to be more reliable than the bank. He promises to pour out more blessing and interest than the bank. I think I'll give it a try. Folks, it shouldn't stop there. God doesn't want it to stop there. If God gives to you after you give to him, then the next logical step is to give to God again and again and again and again. Why? Because he wants constant fellowship with you, and he wants your heart forever. And on earth, one of the greatest ways we can give him our heart and give him ourselves is to let him have our hands, let him have our feet, let him have our voice in loving people and taking care of people and bringing them to the cross of Jesus so that they may have the opportunity to hear the gospel message that they were created, they are loved, and they are wanted by their Creator with all that he is. So we do not give to receive. It just so happens that God will give back to us. But I ask and God ask, don't stop there. Enjoy God's blessing. Enjoy them each and every day. They are wonderful things, but don't ever stop giving to God. He is an unacceptable God when it comes to an unacceptable gift. Last one I want to give you this morning. We serve an unforgettable God. Starting in verse 13, God never, ever forgets. Verse 13, he says, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day where I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This section starts off with a little imaginary conversation with God and the people and the land again, starting there in verse 13. And of course, as we humans often do, like I said before, once again, they are denying his claims. Then God goes and proves his point and lets them have it. And the people of the land had stopped serving God because they couldn't find the value in doing so. Have you ever been to that part of your walk with God? There are so many people that have come in my door and out my door. What's the point? Joe down the road doesn't go to church any Sunday. He doesn't give God anything, and he has so much more than I do. He is blessed beyond belief. He has the perfect family. He has the perfect house. He has the perfect car. He has the perfect job, and he doesn't spend one second in church. What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Why do I go to church every single Sunday? God doesn't bless me like he's blessing Joe down the road. The Israelites saw the way that God was treating the ones who were following God's laws as compared to the ones that were not following God's laws. And they saw no difference. However, there were a couple of righteous people that realized they needed to separate from the rest of the people or else they would be in serious trouble. their eyes were open. So they had sort of a meeting with God and came up with a list of those who were following God's commands. And if you were on that list, you would be, as the Bible put it, "They will be mine." However, if you were not on that list, you became fair game for the wrath of God. So again, what does that have to do with us? Well, it has a lot to do with us. It may seem that God is unfair. Don't forget what I said back in number one. We serve an unchanging God. And it may seem that we serve an unfair God. After all, we all know some, like I said, really rich people that are not following God. It doesn't seem fair sometimes. But don't worry. They will get their rewards. They will get their eternal rewards, and you will get yours. If you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, God promises, great is your reward. Why would you want your reward here on earth? There is nothing here on planet earth of value outside of your relationship with God. He has so much to offer you into the life eternal. Why would we want our reward here? God is an amazing God. If you were to take away some of his attributes that we talked about this morning, he would not be God anymore. He would be like every other person and every other false god out there. Because of these three things that Malachi points out, we are able to call him God, and not just God, but God Almighty, the God of love, the God of grace, and the God to be worshipped. So we hear about God's love often, but we need to make sure that we understand something. God is a God of justice. If he was not, he would change. If he was not, he would accept unfair offerings. He would say, "Oh, you know, okay. It's not what I asked of you, but I'll take it." I don't know if you, as a parent, have been guilty of that. I have. Mary will tell you I do it very often. My children will do the opposite of what I ask them to do, and I, okay, we'll let it slide. God doesn't let things slide because he's unchanging. I'm a changing father sometimes. I have a soft spot for my kids. They're not spoiled by any means. But I change sometimes in my parenting. We serve a God that does not change because he is a God of justice. And if he was not a God of justice, he would forget how people treated him. And because he is unforgetting or unforgettable, he is a God of justice, and he will not change. He will not accept blemished offerings. He will not accept the blemished heart in that offering. And he will not forget those who are not righteous today. Yes, God is in control. I want to encourage each and every one of us to follow and enjoy his love and avoid his eternal wrath. Don't follow him and miss his love and feel his wrath forever. God does not change. I know I've said that many times. I hope I drilled that through your head. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. That is the reason to praise his name today. I want to offer that as our invitation this morning. To take a look at these three attributes of God that maybe we don't talk about enough. We talk about his love. We talk about his grace. We talk about him being all-powerful, all-knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. But boy, because he's an unchangeable God, and because he does not accept unjust things, that's what makes him God. That's part of what makes him God. That's what gives him the ability to offer grace, forgiveness, and eternal life to you and I today. So for those of you who have already accepted that grace, for those of you who have already accepted his forgiveness, I would encourage you to carry on in your walk with him. Thank him for his unchanging attribute. And ask him to continue to change your heart and to change the way you go about things and love people and become more and more like him, unchanging in your walk with him. For those of you that need to start your walk with God, what a great time of year, the beginning of the year, to throw your hands up in the air and say, I cannot do this life without you anymore, God. I offer everything that I am to you, just like what he was asking the Israelites in this day. I offer everything to you. It's all yours. Take control. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to receive your grace. And start today renewing my spirit in you, Father, today. Come forward. We will pray with you. I'll show you how God has laid out salvation for your life. We'll get you baptized in his baptism, and you can start a new life in him today. However you need to respond to the word of God this morning, we ask you to do that. And we're going to do that by singing All Hail the Power of Jesus. I couldn't think of a more appropriate song this morning to thank God for his unchanging son, Jesus, who did what needed to be done to fulfill the law on the cross and to give us the opportunity today to be who God's called us to be, his children, serving him day and night, worshiping him day and night, and bringing glory and honor to him. Let's bring glory to his name right now. Please stand. And if you need to respond to the word this morning, we invite you to do that. But all hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and cry.